Most parents, especially those in their 30s and 40s, are faced with a tough decision that often pits the heart against the head. Do we save for our children's education or our own retirement? Everyone has limited resources to some extent, and that often leads parents into a quandary, choosing between college or retirement. Today, financial planner and teacher Rob West enters into that debate. Then we'll take your calls and questions on any financial topic at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Get ready for another edition of MoneyWise Live. Rob, we've been taking on some controversial topics lately, and I guess this is no exception, is it?
No, certainly not, Steve. We often hear from parents who are struggling with the question of saving for their kids' college or investing in a retirement plan. But I'd like to say at the outset, it doesn't necessarily have to be a choice between one or the other. If you can put something aside for both, that's the best way to go.
Okay. So what are some things to consider if parents do have to make a decision between the two?
Yeah. Well, most parents want their children to be able to go to college if they choose, but most parents also know that it's fairly easy to attend college these days simply by borrowing your way through it. And that really poses a dilemma, Steve, because no parent wants their child burdened with the kind of huge student loan debt that's really becoming the norm now. Making matters worse is the endless increase in college costs. Not accounting for inflation, median household income has risen 135% in the last 20 years. That sounds good, but average tuition at a four-year public college has risen, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
550%.
I'm gasping for breath here. Why have college costs risen so much faster than the family income?
Well, there are probably several reasons, but one that many analysts point to is the easy availability of federal loan money and students' willingness to borrow it. As a result, schools have almost no incentive to run efficiently. Basic economics tells you that costs will rise when there's no downward pressure on prices.
Yeah. It occurs to me that you haven't answered the question yet, save for education or retirement.
Thank you for pointing that out. Obviously, this is something every parent has to answer within their own conscience. After all, I would hope much prayer and maybe consultation with a financial advisor would be involved. As I said, ideally you want to do both, but if you have to choose, the wiser financial decision would be to save for your own retirement first. But that doesn't have to mean 100% of your savings in one and zero in the other. You could simply just put a higher percentage in retirement.
And why choose retirement as the priority?
One reason is that retirement has changed over the past few decades. Pensions are now a distant memory for most workers. Remember, you used to get a gold watch and a check for life. Not so any longer. Social Security isn't sufficient to meet one's income needs in retirement, and the program's revenue is projected to fall below benefit levels by 2035. Workers must take responsibility for their own retirement needs, and we always recommend investing 10 to 15% of income in a qualified retirement plan, assuming you've paid off your credit card and consumer debt and you have that emergency fund in place.
All right, but then what about saddling the kids with student loan debt?
Yeah, parents and students can take steps to minimize college borrowing. First, if you have any money left over after monthly retirement contributions, open a 529 education savings plan. Even $50 or $100 a month will make a difference by the time your child is ready for college. Next, consider a less expensive community college for the first 2 years and then transferring to a four-year school to complete a degree program. I've also heard recently that some colleges are going to begin offering an on-campus experience with an online price tag. So there may be some flexibility there for the school you ultimately want to be at in class, in person. Students can also look for internships and part-time jobs to help defray the cost of education. I certainly took advantage of that on campus as I worked and helped defray some of my costs. And then there's the old tried and true scholarships. Families should exhaust all of those possibilities, Steve, in my view, before borrowing for education. A great place to find more cost-saving ideas is savingforcollege.com. Com. I love that website. One more thing families should consider, especially if the student will have to borrow for school, and that's choosing a major that gives you marketable skills. You know, studying in a field that interests you is important, but a four-year degree in something that's going to really help pay the bills after school, especially when you have that debt, will make paying off those loans a lot easier.
All right, great information. We'll be right back.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Success, that's what life's all about. If only I could marry that perfect woman and get that job that pays a fortune and buy that car and that jet ski, then I'll be happy. Yeah, the sweet, sweet taste of success. G'day, I'm Bernie Diamond. A lot of people think that way. I used to think that way. In fact, we're conditioned to think that way. The sad thing is that so many people spend their whole lives chasing success. They sacrifice the earth for a version of success that's been painted by spin merchants and highly paid advertising companies. But when they take a bite of success, where they expected sweetness, they find bitterness. They get what they imagined, the salary, the car, the career, but they don't get what they expected. Because that type of success, well, it's hollow, it's empty. Believe me, I know. And after having it all, you know what? The one thing that I've discovered in life that really satisfies is Jesus. Maybe that sounds a bit corny to you, or maybe it sounds too good to be true. Jesus.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, really great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we're taking your phone calls right now because we have a passel. That's an old-time term, isn't it? We have a whole bunch of open lines, and you may avail yourself of one if you have a question or a comment for Rob today. 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. You know, as we were discussing the pros and cons of saving for retirement or saving for your children's college education, one thing you mentioned was the two-year college, at least for the first couple of years, and then maybe transferring to a four-year college. One thing that helps with that, and this is from parents I've spoken to over the years, is talk about that two-year college option way early on when the kids don't really care, you know, like 12 or 13 or 14. That kind of gets embedded into their psyche, about the two-year college approach, as opposed to telling them when they're 18 and they had their heart set on the University of Hawaii all 4 years, maybe five. It's maybe a slightly better approach that makes it a bit more palatable. What do you think?
I think that's right. And just clear communication in general, Steve. You know, I think oftentimes the parents know what they're thinking in terms of how much or how little they're planning to contribute toward their child's education, but they don't communicate that to the kids. So sitting down early, maybe when they're even a freshman, to say, here's the track we're on. We have X amount to contribute toward your education. Anything beyond that, it's fine. If you want to go to an Ivy League school or a private out-of-state school, school, but you need to go to the website, look for the cost of attendance. By the way, they'll publish that on that website you're interested in, and then start thinking now about how you're going to make up the difference between that and what mom and dad are going to be providing. And that might be added incentive to get the right grades. That might be added incentive to begin saving now, maybe through a high school job. Any number of things, Steve, but I think communication, as in so many things, is just so key.
And getting an early start is so vital to both of these decisions. When I say both, I mean college and retirement. To be really honest, at 14, if my parents would have been talking to me about college, frankly, at 14, I just didn't care. That was above my head. I was thinking about lots of things at 14. College wasn't one of them. And then when we talk about retirement and getting an early jump on that, well, again, to be honest, at 32, I wasn't giving retirement a whole lot of thought. It just seemed like it was so far away, and it was something old people did. And at 32, I was still feeling younger than I feel today. So, early starts with both of those.
Well, and I think that's where just teaching some of these principles, like the power of compounding, both working for you and against you in the form of interest on debt, is a powerful idea. That if they can begin early and can put away some money or avoid getting into debt, just the benefits long term are huge. And so teaching these concepts in a way that's practical and understandable will go a long way.
Another thing that's good to do early, as far as an early start, is calling in. Well, we have open lines, and we have about four right now, so this would be a great time to place your call, 800-525-7000. Let's begin, Rob, going out to, Pembroke Pines, Florida, and Miguel. How can we help you, sir? Miguel,
I think
we're
going actually to Chicago, and Sheila is what I'm seeing on my screen. Sheila, why don't you go right ahead?
Did you say Sheila?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. You go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm calling because nobody has mentioned so far taking a job with a company because it has good education benefits, which is what I and my two brothers did. My parents could not afford to pay for our college. We exhausted our councilmen and trying to get scholarships and so forth, and none of us were geniuses enough to get full rides.
Yes, ma'am.
I took a job that I didn't particularly care for, but the company has fantastic education benefits, so I hung with it until they paid for my education, and then I looked for a job that I liked.
I love that. You know, that is certainly one of the things as you're considering a job, looking for things that fit your work style, like more and more companies offering the ability to work remote, or benefits, including help with paying off student loans, I think is another great idea, Sheila. And obviously that worked very effectively in your situation. We appreciate you pointing that out. Thanks for weighing in on the program.
Yeah, Sheila. Great. Always nice to hear from our listeners, Rob, when it comes to, you know, real issues that all of us can use help with, practical help and assistance. Let's go to Orlando, Florida now. Hi, Randy. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you both doing today?
Great.
Doing
thank
great,
you.
Randy. Thanks for calling.
Oh, that's good. Well, thank you for the program and for what you guys do in your ministry. Yeah, I got a quick question. I've called you a couple other times, and you've given great advice. Because if you didn't, I wouldn't be calling back. you guys are great at what you do, so you've really helped my family and my friends, though. But my question is this. Can you show my whole life is nothing but just viewing everything biblically, whether I vote for somebody, whether I'm dating, whether it's something financially. I always want that to be my moral compass and my direction on anything, like our founding fathers did, how they looked to the Bible for the answer to so many things and to implement so many things in America. But my question is, what about retirement? Now, with retirement, I guess we're so prone in America here to be thinking, man, I can't wait till I'm 62 or 65 and I can just stop working, I can just play golf, and I can do whatever I want to do. But I want to look at it at a biblical view. Is this something that the Bible really talks about where, yes, it really endorses that, or is it something like, is it silent, or like, no, really, we should continue working until we are called home?
Yeah, boy, I love this question, Randy, and I appreciate your kind remarks. You will find the word retirement in the Bible or retire, but only in one instance. I'll get to that in a moment. But this idea, this standard view, if you will, here in America around retirement, that is ceasing all work, is a modern concept. You know, before the 20th century, people generally worked as long as they could, and then came Social Security and pensions, and retiring at 65 came to be seen as an entitlement. And, you know, it's just not the biblical model. This idea that we would quit work and sit back in a rocker, perhaps, is not biblical. God is our true boss, number one, and work actually predates the fall. The Lord put Adam to work in the Garden of Eden, and nowhere does the Bible say that we can quit being of service to him when we have enough money saved up to live a life of leisure. The one place that it does address this idea of retiring is in Numbers, and it's a pretty narrow instance. It had to do with the Levitical priests, which was for a very specific person. And it in the NASB, it actually uses the word retire. But the Levites were to retire from temple service at 50 years of age. God's word doesn't tell us why they were to stop their labors. But one thing we can be pretty sure of is that that passage doesn't apply to us. So how should we approach this then, given that context? And I think the answer is, we should realize that, our service to the Lord should continue throughout our lives. Our calling, if you will, doesn't have an expiration date. But that doesn't mean, Randy, that we shouldn't be saving for the future. I think the Bible is very clear. We should set aside a portion of what God gives us today for the future so we can provide for ourselves and others, because there may well come a time where we're not physically able to work the same load that we are now, which is why we need to focus on getting out of debt, keeping our lifestyle at a minimum. And then I would say during that unique season where we have the most experience, the most wisdom, the most to offer in service to the Lord, that we would be saying, Lord, what would you have for me? And perhaps by being a diligent saver, keeping lifestyle in check, we would then be freed up to be used by the Lord, perhaps in a new way in that season of life, but certainly not just sitting back in the life of leisure. Nothing wrong with enjoying some leisure and rest and perhaps even taking an extended season of rest, but then I think getting right back to whatever the Lord's assignment is for you is the way to go. So I hope that helps, and I think at the end of the day, you're right. We don't need to take our cues from the culture. We need to go back to God's Word. Does that make sense, though?
Absolutely, and thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right. Yeah. God bless you, sir.
Thanks, Randy. Now, Randy mentioned dating advice. We're not doing that today, are we? We'll talk about anything, but not dating.
We will. Although I've got teenagers at home, so I'm good for a little dating advice, too, every now and then.
All right. For dating advice, here's the number, 800-525-7000. Stafford, Arizona. Hi, Melinda. You have a comment for us, huh?
Yes. I was listening to your program today, and I appreciate you taking my call. But I have some advice for people as far as not having to pay for college. I just finished my master's, and I didn't pay for any of my schooling. I actually, when I was at the community college, I filled out a FAFSA, and we need to do all this early. We need to do it early in the spring of your junior year and your senior years when you're in high school. And as soon as you get that FAFSA done, that's free money. It's a grant from the federal government to go to school. It's usually sent to your university. It pays for your tuition, and what's left over they give you for books and things like that. Other things are, I actually walked up to counselors, department heads, and told them, what kind of money do you have for me? And they have scholarships that aren't publicized that you ask for. Each department usually gets one on the community college level. Other things that the students can do, like if they're in their older, in their master's program or something, if they're going into the teaching field, they can go for a teach grant. This is just a dedication of service for a certain amount of time. And if you don't do the service or you don't put in your paperwork when you're supposed to, it will turn into a loan. So you want to make sure that you're doing everything in a timely way. But there are so many scholarships, but you've got to do them early. Utility companies, investment companies, they, you know, if you have your retirement in certain companies that are private, there are scholarships out there. You've just got to read.
I love that, Melinda. You know, my wife took full advantage of scholarships. Back then, you had to go to the library to research them, but they applied for literally hundreds, and she, like you, Julie, my wife, put herself through school 100%. So it can be done. You've just got to put some work in and start early.
Melinda, God bless you. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
In verse 16, the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence attests the believer's birth relationship to God. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the born ones of God, okay? Children of God. But in verse 14, the Holy Spirit's control and direction attests the believer's privileges in God's family as a son. And then he goes on to say, and I'm still quoting out of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, a son in God's family is led by God's Spirit. When we look at something like that, I mean, that's very confusing. Already gets me down from the start because I believe that I was saved as a child. I mean, I absolutely am certain of that, as certain as I know how to be. But I'm telling you, I live like the devil in cycles, cycling in and out of the pit. And I look back on that and think, okay, at what point was I a son of God? And ladies, you got to understand that we fall under that same category. That's just what we are. You understand what I'm saying? It's just put in those terms. Listen, men have to deal with the fact that we're the bride of Christ. It all evens out. All of it. I mean, no guy goes, my favorite thing to be called, the bride of Christ. And none of them are into that. None of them look forward to their white linen. None. None. So we can stand being sons of God while they stand being brides of Christ. All right. All right. I feel good about it. I feel good about it.
Beth is dedicated to encourage people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today. Pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live, where we do our very best to help you find God's plan for your financial life. It may include college, and if so, how are you going to fund that? We've been talking a little bit about that, but we'll talk about anything that's on your mind today, anything financial. And our phone number is 800-525-7000. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Julie, you have a comment or a question about colleges and scholarships, huh?
Yeah, I did. We have one in college and one going into college, and we have found that most of these four-year colleges offer really good scholarships to incoming freshmen for academics, but I know that if they were to go to a community college first and then transfer, they wouldn't be offered those scholarships. It's only for freshmen. So, you know, I have a third child, and should we encourage them still to do the 2 years community, or should we say, you know, do the private school to get that good scholarship for all 4 years?
Yeah. Julie, it's a great point, and I think you're exactly right in terms of what's available and when they need to accept those scholarships. You know, I think it really comes down to knowing your child and how they've been wired, and you know whether they have the ability to perform academically such that they would be able to qualify for and receive those scholarships. Clearly, if you have a child that's headed in that trajectory where they have good standardized test scores, they kept their GPA up, they've met the other requirements, service hours and the like, I think being able to take full advantage of a scholarship that's there to attend the university of choice that they've selected for a full 4 years would be the ideal situation. I think what we're talking about is just for those that either don't qualify, haven't received those scholarships, and haven't found another way to save, if they're looking for ways to still be able to go to college without taking on a lot of debt, choosing a two-year college, a community college, and then transferring is certainly one way among many to be able to defray the cost apart from having a scholarship available. So I think what you're describing would be my first choice. But then when you try to get creative, I think that's where you could consider a community college.
Yeah, good point, Julie. We're glad that you made it. We're glad that you called in today. Thanks very much. And, of course, Rob, there's always the full ride athletic scholarship, and you'd know all about that, wouldn't you?
I would, because I've heard about them. Right. Never received one. But
was it the badminton team, water polo? Chess club.
The old badminton team. I had took a class in college, badminton, and the deal was that the professor was, I believe he was in his early 80s, and the deal was if you could beat him at any point during the semester, you got an A.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you, nobody ever beat him.
There you go. Okay, we'll come back and talk some more about that topic someday. Chicago. Hi, Pamela. What do you have for us today?
Hi. I had a question. You all had brought on someone that talked about investing in the stock market. And
yes.
I was wondering if that was a good way to save for college, invest in college.
Absolutely, Pamela. So my preferred savings vehicle is called a 529 College Savings Plan. If you go to savingforcollege.com, you can read about them. You'll want to look at the state of Illinois plan, but you'll want to compare it to other states, and you can do that at savingforcollege.com. Think about it like a Roth IRA, but specifically for college savings. So as you start making systematic contributions, you'll be able to select from the investments inside the plan, and many of them will automatically get more and more conservative as your child nears the age where they would go off to school. It's called a 529 plan. Go to savingforcollege.com.
Miguel, Mike, Renee, we're coming your way. Stay with us. This is MoneyWise Live.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." That's Revelation 5:9, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Moody Bible Institute founder Dwight Lyman Moody once said,
"Take courage. We walk in the wilderness today, but in the promised land, tomorrow.
For Christ followers, we walk with a mission to share the gospel of Christ. Each day provides opportunity to invest in this mission. A charitable gift annuity to benefit Moody provides life income to you with the remainder supporting the work of the Moody Bible Institute. To find out much more, call 1-800-801-2171. That's 800-801-2171.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The U.S. has carried out the first federal execution in 17 years, putting to death a man who killed an Arkansas family as part of a plot to build a whites-only nation. 47-year-old Daniel Lewis Lee of Yukon, Oklahoma, died at the federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana. Wells Fargo losing $2.4 billion in the second quarter, the first quarterly loss for the bank since the real estate crash of 2008. Delta Airlines lost $5.7 billion in the second quarter as the coronavirus pandemic crushed air travel. California's Squaw Valley Ski Resort is considering changing its name to remove the word squaw, a derogatory term for Native American women. The stock market finishing higher today. The Dow picked up 556 points. The NASDAQ gained 97. This is SRN News.
Here at MoneyWise Live, we do our very best on a daily basis to remember that God owns it all. He wants us to manage it well, and we discuss that quite often here on this program. We could all use a little assistance when it comes to managing our money well and our resources. Let's continue to do that with Miguel in Pembroke Pines, Florida. I'm a professional radio announcer. Hey, Miguel, what's your question? How can we help?
Hello, good afternoon. Yes, I love your show, and it's very wise, everything that you teach in the program. I have a question regarding this investment plan. It's called Bitcoin. I have family members that have done it, and they want me to get into it. I really don't know how it works, and I'm very curious on your thoughts about it. So can you please have something to say about it?
Yes. I do have something to say here, Miguel. You know, the technology behind these cryptocurrencies is here to stay. You know, in our digital and global economy, there is a place for being able to transact business securely and to the point of these cryptocurrencies anonymously, which is also opens up other less scrupulous opportunities as well for people looking to hide these transactions. But the bottom line is the technology behind it is not going anywhere. I think we will continue to see more and more in the way of digital currency. Now, you asked about it as an investment as opposed to as a way to transact business, and that's where I would stay away. It's just way too volatile, and really it's speculation in my view. It fit into that type of investment category as opposed to what we see in God's Word, which would be more along the lines of steady plotting. Not to mention the fact that I like to use the rule of thumb, if I can't explain it, I don't invest in it, and that just keeps me out of things that I have no business being in. So I think at the end of the day, yes, people have made some money investing in these, but it's, again, the volatility and the performance, which moves wildly based on geopolitical events and statements by governments that Bitcoin is likely to be regulated, and just a whole host of underlying factors have led to incredible swings in the price of these cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in particular. And so for that reason, I would really rather see you just invest in a more traditional sense, where you're well diversified in proven companies in a way that fits your goals and objectives, and not try to capture short term quick moves in the market, because that's just going to head you down a road where you're going to end up losing more than you're winning. And I think that really is more akin to gambling than it is investing. So for those reasons, despite what your family members and friends are saying, I'd stay away and let them do their thing.
Yeah, and Miguel, obviously we're not experts, but we really have done our homework and looked into this, and it really is a volatile currency, ups and downs and wild swings, and it doesn't seem to be related to anything in particular. So, it can get a little scary at times. We wish you the best with that as you work through it, though. Thanks. Be sure you pray first. Tunnel Hill, Georgia. Hi, Mike. What's going on in your life, sir?
Well, I have an annuity, and
Hey, Mike, it looks like we're losing you there, so perhaps you could find a different spot, unless you're driving, and then give it a try one more time. Mike, you there?
I think he didn't find that different spot. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's put Mike on hold. We'll come back, and we'll see if he's in the car. Maybe he could pull over or something like that. Chicago, and Joel, thanks so much for holding, sir. What's your question for Rob West?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes, I have a question regarding 529 plans. If a child has finished their college career and I still have a little bit of money left in the 529 plan, I understand I can assign a different beneficiary for that, yes, including myself if I want to go back to school. However, can I assign that to a beneficiary who would like to go back for a master's degree, or can I just simply cash out?
So if you just cash out and they're not used, the withdrawals are not used for qualified education expenses, Joel, it would be subject to taxes and a 10% penalty. But if you want to transfer it to a new beneficiary and it's used for qualified education expenses, including post-degree education where you're looking for a master's, that would be absolutely in play. The other exception to that, and there are a few others, you could do some research if you have another situation that may apply, but one of them in terms of an exception is if your child had any kind of scholarship dollars, you could pull a money out of the 529 equivalent to the scholarship awards. And that would not then be subject to the taxes and the penalties. And by the way, only the earnings portion would be subject to the taxes and the penalties. So I think, if you can transfer it to the other beneficiary and use it for the graduate degree or professional program, that would be great. One other thing that the Secures Act brought into play that we had not seen previously was you can take up to $10,000 of 529 funds and use to pay towards student loan debts. That's brand new. And something that you could do. I think the last thing is you could set the money aside for a grandchild, and it could be used down the road. So I'd try to get creative and find a way to avoid the taxes and the penalty on the earnings if you don't have a qualified education expense available to you today.
Joel, thank you very much. We wish you the very best with that. Let's try to squeeze in Bethany calling from Chicago. I think she has a question about college scholarships. And what is that question, Beth?
Howdy. Thank you so much. I have a couple different questions. So one is I have a daughter that's in eighth grade, and I'm wondering at what point can she start applying for college scholarships? Can she start applying now for them, or does she have to have something done through high school before she can apply? And then my second one is, I'm also a recent graduate. I graduated a year and a half ago, and when I look at the amount that I owe, I have done the calculators. I don't see myself ever being able to pay it off with what I earn, and I owe $166,000 in student loans for my degree.
Wow.
And I don't make anywhere near what they can ask to eventually have it paid off. And I'm wondering if there's also grants out there that I can apply for since I've graduated already that can help me pay that down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great questions, Bethany. Let me start with the scholarships. You know, when do you apply? I mean, the general rule of thumb is that, you know, some deadlines are as early as a year before college starts. So if they're in high school now, and it sounds like yours are a bit before that, but at any time in high school, you should begin researching the various scholarships that you want to apply for. And the good news is there's a wealth of resources out there today. If you just go to Amazon and do a quick Google search, you'll find some great books, very highly rated on this. But generally speaking, you would apply for scholarships during the summer between your junior and senior year. Again, some of them could be up to a full year before, so you'd want to get a jump on that, which is why you'd probably want to start looking at it even earlier, but certainly not in the, you know, in junior high or even your freshman year of high school. What you do want to do is start preparing, though. And one of the ways to prepare is as they do service projects, we have a little 3x5 card system where every time one of my kids does a service project, they write it down, church activity, community activity, drop it in the 3x5 carrier, and that'll get you a long way. Stay on the line. We'll cover your other question off air, and we'll be right back.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Almost everyone you're with is struggling with something, and no one cares because they're focused on their own problems. That's why it's so interrupting when you care for them, when you take time to ask, is something wrong or is there something I can pray about? Even if they say no, you have moved them closer to God by your love, by seeing God's love through you. Your words will never leave them. That's how God works. When people are hurting and hungry for God, He'll bring a string of people into their lives to lead them to Him. You can be a part of that with everyone, every day. Everyone's on a journey, and your job is to keep them going in the right direction with spiritual encouragement and love and prayer. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Not a day passes without an opportunity to help a neighbor, friend, or relative. When was the last time you volunteered as a family? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. You might have a few good excuses as to why it doesn't happen. When can you actually get the entire family together at one time? And it's obvious that your teen would roll his eyes at the mention of volunteering. When you serve and care for others, you're not only helping someone in need, you're also passing on a tradition to your teenager. Times volunteering as a family will instill character and build lasting memories. So why not make the effort, gather the kids, and find a way to serve someone else? Start the tradition.
Want more parenting help from Mark Gregston? Find helpful resources at parentingtodaysteens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
And we're talking about anything that you'd like to talk about today on MoneyWise Live. Rob West is your host, taking your calls, and let's do that right now. Highland Lake, Illinois. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just kind of wanted to get your take on something. It was kind of spur of the moment thought, but something that's been on my mind on and off over the years. And I know we're supposed to be good stewards of God's gifts. I mean, I know that for sure. We shouldn't purposely be wasteful. But at the same time, I don't think our life should be revolving around, I mean, placing so much, value on a piece of paper. I mean, some Christians, it seems like they almost make a religion out of being overly frugal, almost at a point where they seem miserly, you know? I mean, I know God doesn't want us to be wasteful, but at the same time, sometimes I don't think it's horribly wrong to spend a little freely, to give a little, or and it just seems like, you know, they get overly obsessed with retirement. And I mean, I've actually been with Christians who are good people, and we've gone by homeless people, and they're like, well, I'm not giving them my hard-earned money. They could work like me. And in my head, it's like, I understand there's a future, but don't we have to trust that God's going to kind of turn intuitive? I just wanted your thoughts on that. You know?
Sure, Robert. I appreciate your call today. You know, I think for each of us, it begins on our knees. Because I am charged with being found faithful as a steward of what God has entrusted to me. So I can't tell you what you're to do with God's money. I can't tell anyone else. And we, here on this program, we point out principles that we see from God's word. But at the end of the day, I've got to, in my case, I'm married. So my wife and I, before the Lord, say, Lord, what would you have us to do? And that includes, what lifestyle do you want us to lead? How much is enough? Not just how much, Lord, do you want back, but how much should I keep? What is my financial finish line? And how do I order my finances in such a way that I live simply? I'm saving in a way that's appropriate, not hoarding. And I think the difference comes down to a heart condition. Are you ultimately trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting in the things of this world? But I think as long as we are ultimately trusting in the Lord, then saving is a good thing, and in a balanced way with God-given goals and priorities, because we're taking seriously this responsibility to provide both now and in the future. But that has to be tempered, those savings goals, with this clear admonition in Scripture that we're to be givers. You know, we were created in the image of the ultimate giver, God Himself. He gave us His Son, Jesus, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, that we might, through His substitutionary gift on the cross, we might be in a right standing with the Lord and be reconciled to Him. Well, that's the ultimate gift. So we're a more accurate reflection of that when we're giving to others, not to mention the fact that we're invited into God's story. We can participate in His activity, and we can meet the needs of those around us. Well, that involves that we hold everything loosely. So we save, but we do it with God-given goals. We give generously. We live simply. And I think in the context of all of that, with the right heart condition, it keeps us really focused on the eternal, not the temporal. Remember, we're just brief sojourners in this place. Ultimately, our home is in heaven. And so that's why part of what we should be doing is sending it on ahead, keeping an eternal mindset, and not getting too comfortable with the things of this world, because this is simply a temporary dwelling. So I think you're exactly right, but I think at the end of the day, it's incumbent upon each of us to consider what the Lord has for us prayerfully, and do so that with a diligent heart and with earnest prayer. So appreciate you pointing that out. It's something we try to visit with regularly. And let me also just mention quickly, Steve, you know, so often because we hear from people asking about their retirement plans, asking about their investments, wanting to know about college savings and inheritance, it can sound like we're only talking to those who are incredibly affluent. And we're not. We have to recognize that there is no connection between our spiritual condition and our standing before the Lord and our net worth, right? God has blessed some of us with an abundance. He has given to others a little, and that may change over time. But here's our charge: to be found faithful and live with contentment wherever we are. And we're not any more spiritual. We're not any more anything because we have a few more zeros at the end of our checking account. The question is, are you being faithful to the opportunity you've been given with what you've been entrusted? Are you being found faithful to the Lord? Nobody can tell you the answer to that except between you and the Father through prayer and study of the Scriptures.
That's right. It sometimes is hard to understand and find that balance between saving and hoarding, the balance between prudent preparation and having faith that God will provide. And sometimes it takes a lifetime to find balance for our lives and keeping in mind that God has a different plan for each of us. So great comment and great thoughts, Rob, and a great comment from you today, Robert. We appreciate that. Let's go back to our phones. Palm Beach, Florida. Lorenzo, what's on your heart?
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call today.
Yes, happy sir. To.
So my question is, I'm set to retire in approximately 5 years. So I'm looking at the fact that I work for local government, so I have a pension plan in the amount of little over in excess of probably $1 million, and I also have a mortgage that I know will not be paid off before I retire. So I was thinking, would it be a good idea to leave the money with the pension and get the monthly check, or to take the lump sum, pay off the balance of the mortgage, and use the rest to live on, because my cost of living would be a lot cheaper. And yes. Then I would be able to afford, you know, to send a request for a certain amount each month.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking about this the right way, Lorenzo. I like what you've laid out here, because obviously you've done several things. Number one is you were a diligent saver. I hear that you value this idea of keeping your lifestyle in check in retirement. I hear that you want to be debt-free. I hear that you've accumulated quite a bit of savings, and you want to be faithful in managing that. Now, you're right. You have these two choices with this pension plan. You can take a monthly payout for life, or you can take the lump sum, and then you're charged with the responsibility of investing it, or investing what's left after you pay off the house. You can go both ways. I generally like, and I'm saying generally because I'm at the end of this, I'm going to recommend you sit with a financial professional to make the ultimate decision. I generally like the lump sum, because as long as you're assuming you're willing to assume the responsibility of managing it or hiring somebody to do that for you, you have the benefit of having control of those funds. If something were to happen to you, they can be passed on, they can be given away. If you need access to the money because you have a major medical event or you need long-term care down the road, you have the ability to do that. But there are some people that say the monthly payout plus my Social Security will cover my expenses for the rest of my life. I would rather the peace of mind of knowing that my money is not at the risk of the stock market, or a portion of it's not at the risk of the stock market. I'd rather just take that check and be done with it and transfer the risk to the pension itself and to the company providing it. You know, that's ultimately the decision you have to make. Now, one of the things an advisor will do is help you compute the internal rate of return of the equivalent of taking the lump sum versus what they're willing to give you monthly, just to see on paper which one makes more sense. But at the end of the day, I think it's ultimately going to come down to which one gives you the greatest peace of mind. Bottom line is, you've done a great job preparing and planning and saving, and now you can enjoy that. I will say there's something to this idea that you alluded to, Lorenzo, around getting that lifestyle down, which includes paying off that house. I think that would give you a lot of freedom, a lot of peace of mind as you go to sleep at night, knowing you're debt-free, and you can respond wherever the Lord leads in this unique season of life, which, frankly, I'm really excited for you as you enter. So does that help you, though, as I process that out loud with you?
Yes, you processed it exactly the way that I thought about it. And one fact that you mentioned was the fact that I would like to be able to leave an inheritance for my children's children.
Yes.
So
yes,
that is the other side of the equation that I was thinking along those lines.
Good. Well, let's do this then. Go to our website, moneywiselive.org. There in Palm Beach, you'll find a number of certified Kingdom advisors. If you don't already have one, an advisor, I'd recommend a CKA there in your area. Interview at least three. And if you end up taking this lump sum, you're going to need somebody to help you with the planning, but also with the investment management. And any of those folks would be able to do that. So thank you for your call today, sir. Stay safe there in South Florida, and Lord bless you.
Thanks so much, Lorenzo. We do appreciate that. And Rob, we're nearing the end of our program today. Time flies when you're having fun. Speak to us about the MoneyWise e-magazine, because I know the second edition has just come out, huh?
Yeah, sure has, Steve. It's called the MoneyWise Family. That's our theme. And so we're dealing with how to raise money smart kids. We're dealing with how to communicate between husband and wife. We did a great podcast, you and I, with Shanti Feldhahn, the researcher. She and Jeff did a 3-year groundbreaking study looking at why couples have such challenges communicating about money. 77% of them do. And she shares some of the secrets to how you can communicate more effectively. If you're preparing for a new child, that's one of the articles. What added expenses are you going to have? It's all in the brand new edition of the MoneyWise e-magazine. Here's how you sign up. Just go to moneywiselive.org, and there on the green band near the top will be a place where you can subscribe, and we'll get that right out to you free of charge. By the way, we are listener-supported, and so let me just take this opportunity to say, if you would consider prayerfully partnering with us, we would appreciate it. Maybe this is a program you rely on. Well, the only way we can bring it to you is by the faithful gifts, tax-free, deductible gifts to our ministry, and you can give safely and securely at moneywiselive.org. Just click the donate button. Again, moneywiselive.org. Click the donate button.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. And visit our website when you have a chance. Lots of useful and helpful information there, including radio archives of past radio programs, moneywiselive.org. Indeed, MoneyWise Live is a partnership between not only you, but also Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks to our technical crew today, Judy, Amy, Clara, and Jim. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Drive safely, wear your mask, and join us again tomorrow.